Does everyone from the press have all of our press statements up here? We'll be starting probably in about 5 minutes. I'd like to welcome all of you this morning to the press conference. I was welcomed this morning as I came to my office by someone coming in and telling me that there was some new graffiti in the bathroom on the 7th floor of Kuykendall, which appeared this weekend, even though these buildings are supposed to be secured. My student secretary, Susan Miller, who's sitting here, said that she, for the first time, understood the power of graffiti as she was in the bathroom and looked up and saw the one graffiti which says, "I am the rapist, wait here, and I'll come and get you." You can imagine that that's a frightening thing to see in a woman's bathroom that's supposed to be secured. And it doesn't make any of us very safe about the thought of working in our office in the weekends or in the evenings or even in the daytime, really. The other bathroom had the now familiar, but the familiarity doesn't make it any less horrifying, graffiti. Please, no, it starts out, "Another Hiroshima, please, Mr. Bush." That one has appeared before. I had people come and take pictures of those because it looks to me like that handwriting is exactly the same handwriting that wrote that same message in Gartley Hall. So we do have records of that. But that was a very good welcome for me the morning that that we're going to have the press conference. Another welcome thing, and I think Hanani is going to refer to this, was the editorial in the Star Bulletin, which says that though no one is more concerned than Simone about approving the UH climate and increasing minority percentage of the faculty, he will need more help from people with minority credentials, which none of us have. Hanani doesn't. Jean doesn't. In selling this to campus dissidents, which I assume is us, in an area where both the governor and lieutenant governor could assist in reassuring the impatient, the dissidents and now the impatient, that their concerns are shared. We admit to being impatient after a year of intense work. A year ago, the Women's Caucus had another press conference. We immediately after that formed a coalition with student groups who had been working on this issue. We called ourselves the New Affirmative Action Coalition. Worked for months. The result was a little pasteboard thing that went to the regents in which the regents rejected in favor of a more comprehensive affirmative action plan. That was in the October meeting. As far as we know, nothing has been done since. So we admit to being impatient, and that's why we are here to talk about a letter which we have sent to the Board of Regents asking that the impatient dissidents finally be heard. We have representatives here of several groups that are going to speak to this issue, and then after I'll say a few more things. So we're going to start with Jean Toyama, Professor Jean Toyama, who is the co-chair of the UH Women's Faculty Caucus.
Before I read my statement, I'd like to make it clear that we're impatient, not because we've waited only 1 year, because that is the impression one might get. But if you look at the documents, the call for affirmative action on this campus started long, long ago in 1979, and that it is not just because 1 year has gone by. Our impatience is really the show of great patience on our part. It has been almost exactly a year since the UH Women's Faculty Caucus held its last press conference. At that time, we expressed great concern over the cases of four women who had been variously discriminated against by the university: Mai Van Lam, Mimi Sharma, Susan Hippensteel, and Barbara Allen. We also called for a strong affirmative action plan. Of these four cases, only Sharma's has had a positive result, and only because it was so ironclad that the university had no choice. And if you would like to talk to Sharma after this, she will be here. And no movement has been made towards affirmative action. Just last week, it was announced that another woman faculty member, Kay Austin, had won a suit against the university and the state on the basis of sex discrimination. These are only the most obvious cases that support our contention that there is a pattern of institutional bias perpetuated not only by the administration, but also by some faculty against ethnic minorities and women at the University of Hawaii, and that the university must take immediate action to commit itself to a plan to eliminate the effects of this bias. The recently released State Auditor's Review of Equal Employment Opportunity and Affirmative Action at the University of Hawaii clearly vindicates our position. It states that, quote, even the best of the affirmative action plans prepared by the various campuses do not convey the sense of commitment to redress imbalances and eliminate discrimination. What are these imbalances? Well, around 75% of the University of Hawaii students are non-white, yet only 28% of the faculty reflect this majority. The auditor's report points out that in the last 10 years, during which time affirmative action efforts were supposedly being made, the percentage of white faculty rose by 1.3%, while the number of minority faculty decreased by 1.4%. The record on faculty according to gender is only slightly less bleak. Male tenured faculty decreased and female tenured faculty increased by 3.3%. Nonetheless, a 3.3% increase in 10 years is appalling, especially when one considers that only 18.5% of the tenured faculty are women, while 54.3% of the students are women. Moreover, when it comes to promotion, the statistics are dismal. After all these years of so-called affirmative action, only 9% of the women faculty members are full professors. This history and these facts show how dismal the record of equal employment opportunity and affirmative action is at the university. In a recent search for an interim dean for the College of Natural Sciences, the university missed two separate opportunities to appoint either a man of Japanese American ancestry or a woman, both strong candidates for the position. This only underscores the lack of strong leadership and a clear plan with concrete goals. It is disheartening that that in a state such as ours, where minority faces are abundant, we must follow other states rather than take the lead in affirmative action. The auditor's report is clear. There is no affirmative action on the University of Hawaii campuses. We have called this press conference to announce the release of a letter to the Board of Regents calling for a plan that puts into practice the strong stand for affirmative action taken by the Board of Regents itself. We address ourselves to the regents rather than to the president, since in the past year he has proven himself reluctant to move in the past decade. In our letter, we urge that a broad-based commission headed by a woman of color faculty member be appointed to develop a comprehensive plan that would include measures to recruit and retain local students for both undergraduate and graduate work, develop hiring practices that would increase the numbers of women and minorities on the faculty, and contain a strong commitment to fair and open procedures for grievance. Such a plan would include goals, timetables, provisions for follow-up, and for monitoring. The Western Association of Schools and Colleges, the accrediting team that visited this campus for the purpose of accreditation, stated, quote, more needs to be done to formulate and implement a sound affirmative action policy, leaving this important issue to be resolved solely by the goodwill and sincerity of the chairs, directors, and or deans, as appears to be the policy, is risky. It is indeed risky for us not to speak out, for little is done when we are silent.
Dr. Franklin Otto, the director of Ethnic Studies, will lead the next.
Hawaii has long held, I think, this myth of racial harmony, and it seems to be a myth that dies very hard. Ethnic Studies has studied and taught and fought against both this myth and racism and ethnic prejudice here for something over two decades. It seems that, unfortunately, we don't particularly have to worry about the need for us to continue in existence. It's clear that much remains to be done in this atmosphere, both at this university, in our state, and in the nation at large. We have now, I think, a national climate of permissiveness with regard to national chauvinism and racism, dictated from the very top of the Bush administration. But we have with that, I think, examples of many intense struggles to overcome both the old and new forms of racism and sexism across the country. And I simply would like to add here our call for the many diverse units and individuals on our campus to join together to alert ourselves to the dangers at hand and offer alternatives to the present directions or non-directions that exist. Affirmative action, it seems to us, is one of these alternatives, and we should be moving vigorously in that direction. Thank you.
Keith Kamasugi, the president of ASUH, will speak to us now. Keith.
Good morning. I would like to speak to you in strong support of the new Affirmative Action Coalition's request to the Board of Regents to turn the commitment of a comprehensive affirmative action plan into reality. My signature is also on the March 18 letter to the Regents affirming the statements contained therein. I hope to see the foundations for a university-wide plan laid before I graduate from this institution. It is not only to the benefit of the underrepresented females and minorities, but to the students in the majority as well, that such a plan be implemented as soon as possible. It is the Caucasian and Japanese male student that will benefit the most from improved diversity on this campus. Immersion in a student body composed of ethnic and gender backgrounds, which reflect our society, is vital to an excellent college education and experience. Professor Toyama mentioned that the past search committee for a natural science dean passed up an opportunity to select a minority, a qualified minority for that position. I am a student member on a new committee to search for the permanent natural science dean, and I will make sure that that opportunity is not passed up again. Lastly, I am one of two student members on the search committee for the Senior Vice President of Academic Affairs, a committee long overdue. I have a sincere belief that the committee will be sensitive to locating qualified female and or minority candidates for the position. The individual filling the vice president's position must be committed to improving affirmative action in this university. And I'd like to thank the new Affirmative Action Coalition for inviting me to speak in strong support of the request of the Board of Regents. Thank you.
Professor Haunani K. Trask, the Director of Hawaiian Studies, will now speak.
Aloha. Is the Star Bulletin here?
Oh, good.
The reason I asked that is I'm going to make a comment about their editorial.
The Center for Hawaiian Studies wishes to lend its voice to the growing concern over the lack of an affirmative action plan for all units of the University of Hawaii system. This, in other words, is the same letter that we're sending to the Board of Regents, and we have signed it. The Hawaiian Studies Center has signed that. At the Manoa campus, Hawaiian faculty have not increased in the last 20 years. In 1980, there were 13 tenured Hawaiian faculty. In 1990, there were still only 13 tenured Hawaiian faculty. In 1980, less than 2% of the entire faculty was Hawaiian. In 1990, less than 2% of the entire faculty was Hawaiian. This 10-year period was chosen by myself because Al Simone was the president for 7 of those 10 years. Behind these stark figures is the reality of an administration unwilling and unable to gather information on the numbers of Hawaiians in graduate programs who would be potential faculty in Hawaiian fields. In other words, Hawaiian Studies does not recruit from Harvard and Yale because we need people who are trained in Hawaiian subjects. This lack of information is directly related to the lack of targets for hiring Hawaiian faculty, as my statistics show. While faculty in Asian groups have increased, the number of Hawaiian faculty, tenured and non-tenured, has actually declined. The Western Association of Schools and Colleges, which Jean referred to, has written that the university is in need of a clear affirmative action policy with a central office for advocacy and enforcement. In other words, coming out of the administration, not left to deans and chairs. Moreover, as the Hawaii State Auditor's Report notes, the university lacks a plan with stated goals and strategies. Back in October 1990, President Simone attempted to circumvent an affirmative action plan by asking the Board of Regents for a total of 12 new positions for all underrepresented groups. 12, one dozen. There are over 2,000 faculty on the Manoa campus alone. The Board of Regents rejected Simone's proposal, saying that a more aggressive plan was needed with a stronger commitment to targets. This is very important because Robin Campagnano read a very strong statement to Simone. Some of us, like Scott and myself and Lorraine, were there saying, Al, this is insufficient. We need a stronger plan with more comprehensive application and numerical goals. In other words, numbers, like 50 more Hawaiians, 50 more Filipinos, numbers. At that time, Hawaiian Studies suggested that President Simone use the model of the Madison Plan from the University of Wisconsin. This plan has instituted numerical goals for the hiring of underrepresented minorities. In Hawaii, such a plan would mean that the University of Hawaii, for example, would train and hire Filipino and Hawaiian graduate students across the campus. These are the two most severely underrepresented groups. These students would create a pool then from which to draw Hawaiian and Filipino faculty. Targets such as an increase of 30 Hawaiians and 30 Filipinos in faculty positions, say by 1995, could then be initiated. Normally speaking, graduate education takes 4 years. At the end of those 4 years, we'd have a pool from which we could hire these faculty. This is an example of how an aggressive affirmative action plan would work. The administration, however, has refused to consider a model such as the Madison Plan with numerical targets and projected deadlines for the achievement of such targets. While we have been struggling with the administration to create a bold plan, the Center for Hawaiian Studies has lost a position, recently cut by the State Office of Budget and Finance. This loss is directly related to the administration's refusal to give Hawaiian Studies adequate space to house faculty. Thus, instead of increasing Hawaiian faculty representation on the campus, the administration is participating in and encouraging its decline. And I might say here that I have been dealing with the Vice President of Academic Affairs for almost a year now with about 9 memos saying, would you please give us a space, big or small, so that we could hire faculty. We have, to this day, never received a written reply to those requests. Because our center has lost all confidence in the ability of President Simone to reverse the loss of Hawaiian positions at the university and to increase the numbers of Hawaiian faculty on the Manoa campus, we have joined in this appeal to the Board of Regents to address the obvious problem of declining Hawaiian faculty. This could be achieved through the establishment of a commission empowered to create an affirmative action plan that will be implemented in the following biennium. This commission should be comprised of those student and faculty groups who have been working for the past 3 years on the affirmative action issue, that is to say, the groups that signed the letter to the board. Moreover, the commission should be headed by a faculty woman of color, someone who has experienced the effects of discrimination firsthand. Finally, the commission must have enough power to set policy on affirmative action. In other words, it's not just advisory. The board should give to the commission the power that it would normally give to Al Simone. We believe that the president is incapable of strong leadership on this issue and needs to be instructed and supervised by the Board of Regents. And now I would like to comment on the Star Bulletin editorial. Star Bulletin editorial on Saturday claimed, as Lorraine read, that no one is more concerned about affirmative action than President Simone. My statement to the Star Bulletin editorial would be this: no one is less concerned about affirmative action than Al Simone. The Board of Regents rejected Al's plan, so we know the Board of Regents is more concerned. The new Affirmative Action Coalition is here. We are more concerned. I have graduate students that are Hawaiians who are fearful that they won't have positions to apply for. They are more concerned. In other words, there are many people who are more concerned than Al Simone, who have taken the time to draw up suggestions, who have got the Madison plan, like myself, who have presented it to the Board of Regents. There are many people who are more concerned than Al Simone. And the evidence of that is the fact that we have been organizing and speaking for women and for faculty of color, and that Al Simone keeps saying, here's the Band-Aid and that's all you get. So my position on the Star Bulletin editorial is that they are uninformed of the situation. And I would hope that since the reporter is here, that this gets put in the Star Bulletin, that they don't know, I don't know who that editorial writer was, but they don't know what the background and history of this struggle has been. And Al Simone himself does not know that. If he was committed to an increase in positions, we would have more positions right now, and Hawaiian Studies would not have lost a position this biennium. Lastly, I might say that there are 150 to 200 positions that are vacated every year. That was a figure that Al Simone gave to the Board of Regents in October. And Robin Campagnano said at that Board of Regents meeting, and Robin is a regent himself, that perhaps Al Simone would be better advised to take those vacant positions and give all of them to minority and women for recruitment. Now, if the Board of Regents, one of their regents, can say that, I don't know why Al Simone can't do that. Thank you.
Now, Scott Arakaki, who was one of the founders, I would say, of the New Affirmative Action Coalition representing students against discrimination at this time, is going to speak. I think he probably is going to have some more to say about that history also.
Hi. My name is Scott Arakaki. I'm representing Students Against Discrimination, an independent student organization determined to eliminate and peacefully politicize the discrimination problems on campus. Discouraged by President Simone's inability to work with students on discrimination issues, our organization seeks new leadership from the Board of Regents to significantly improve UH's affirmative action policy. In the general information booklet, President Simone welcomes students to the University of Hawaii. He writes, "At the university, the most important person is the student." Yet, Simone patronizes students with lies. After receiving widely publicized criticism from students to improve the racial environment on campus, Simone, like usual, typically exploits the media opportunity to pronounce his insincere plans to work cooperatively with students to solve the university's discrimination problems. Students Against Discrimination's legislative attempt to improve UH's affirmative action policy is an excellent example of Simone's inability to work with students. 1 year ago, our organization, with the help of other valuable and active student and faculty groups, gathered over 1,000 signature, petition requesting the state legislature to provide more women and minorities in tenured faculty positions at the University of Hawaii. Students Against Discrimination believed improvements in UH's affirmative action policy was long overdue. We believe that local students needed professors with similar racial and gender experiences to provide role models, validate our cultural experiences, and to provide a more meaningful education. During the Senate hearings, President Simone denied that there was a problem of racism and sexism here at the University of Hawaii. In fact, he opposed every resolution to improve the affirmative action plan at the University of Hawaii Manoa. His attitude was very reflective on the way he ignored our requests to talk to him prior to the petition. Only when the press was there did Simone request to meet with the concerned student and faculty groups. President Simone used the press opportunity to improve his own image. If Simone was really concerned with racial and gender issues, he would have spoken to the concerned students before they went to the legislature. Malama Solomon, the chairwoman of the hearing, chastised Simone for using the hearing as a publicity opportunity. She screamed at him for wasting the legislators, the students, and the faculty's time. Malama Solomon asked Simone why he waited until the Senate hearing to offer a dialogue with the concerned students and faculty. Simone was silent. Embarrassed by his selfish motives, the president promised to work together with concerned students and faculty groups to mutually agree upon a new and improved affirmative action policy. Basically, President Simone and the concerned faculty and students were to both approve of changes before it became policy. Remember, both were to agree on the changes. During the first meeting, President Simone said that he was going to break his promise that he made at the Senate hearings. He said he did not have to come to a mutual agreement with students and faculty. Simone told us that he would have the final say in what the policy was, whether we liked it or not. We went from equal partners to a token advisory group. Simone ignored our request to restore trust with the students and faculty. He shook his head against a plan for a comprehensive affirmative action policy. Instead, Simone attempted to establish, without the support of students and faculty, a flimsy policy that would not substantially solve the racial and gender problems at the University of Hawaii. Fortunately, the Board of Regents saw past his fancy charts and overhead displays and told Simone during the budget hearing to come back when he has a more comprehensive policy. Up to this very day, Simone has failed to regain the trust of the students, has failed to resolve discrimination cases like that of Mai Van Lam, and has failed to significantly improve UH's affirmative action policy. In fact, the racial problems have worsened under Simone's leadership. Under fire for the recent racist and sexist graffiti on campus, Simone has used this critical publicity to insincerely invite student groups to come together to work out their problems away from the critical eye of the media, the Board of Regents, and the legislature. However, Simone has no intentions to work together with concerned students and mutually agree upon a comprehensive solution to the current racial problems. He's just covering up his mistakes and pretending to be active. In response to last Thursday's criticism, Simone said he wants to call together campus groups to supposedly, quote, heal the campus, unquote. However, Simone has said dictatorially that he will judge the student's actions, whether the student action is proper and correct before any action is taken. In short, he's doing exactly what he did before. Simone will ignore our advice, patronize our ideas, and subordinate our position at the University of Hawaii. During the meetings with the president and concerned students regarding discrimination issues, Simone made his views about students' positions very, very clear. He stated the following: "You are just students and should know your place." Given Simone's poor leadership and the growing racial hostilities on campus, Students Against Discrimination asked the Board of Regents to provide the needed leadership in creating a strong and comprehensive affirmative action policy that will substantially improve the climate for local students at the University of Hawaii Manoa. Thank you.
You can really hear the experience behind that. All of us who worked with it just recognize that over and over. The last statement I'm going to read is from Professor Ann Keppel, who is head of women's studies. She herself could not be here this morning, and she explicitly asked me if I would read this statement and make it clear that this statement is from her, and that she and her faculty unanimously are supporting the letter and have signed the letter. Professor Keppel's statement takes the history back even further. The faculty of the Women's Studies program unanimously supports the appeal to the Board of Regents for a genuine working affirmative action plan. We do not understand the delays and postponements on this issue, nor the lack of an administrative response to repeated requests from various faculty and student groups. The request for institutional commitment is not new. There have been spurts of interest in and demands for gender and racial equality, equity in hiring for a long time. Nearly 20 years ago, in 1973, responding to both federal pressure and yet another resolution from the Hawaii legislature, an affirmative action plan was developed for this campus by the Office of the Chancellor. Witz Gorder at that time, who in his cover letter noted that the, quote, suspicion of, quote, discrimination against